Everyone likes quizzes, don't they? Yes. Yes.
Now this quiz requires you to not look at your Bibles just yet. So, I'll give you a component in the Christmas story, and without looking at your Bibles, yes. Even you, the exception, who thinks I'm not talking to you. Without looking at your Bibles, in whatever format you use them. Paper, digital, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I don't want you looking at your Bibles just yet, all right? All right, so I'll give you a component of the Christmas story, and you tell me which of the two Gospels it's found in. We have the Christmas story found in Matthew 1 and 2, and we have it found in Luke 1 and 2, all right? So, let's see here. How about the angel appearing in a dream to Joseph?
Matthew.
Joseph and dream. Someone says Matthew, you are correct. All right. How about Gabriel giving the announcement to Mary about the birth?
Matthew.
What?
Luke,
that's correct. One of you unbrave, under your breathers over here. All right. Need more courage. All right. How about this? The shepherds. Somebody who hasn't answered. What would you say? Luke, that is correct. So what I'm trying to tell you is that it's not in the other one. All right. So... how about the wise men?
Matthew.
Who said it?
Matthew.
All right, Pastor Rainey says Matthew, and that is correct. Matthew. All right. How about the census that requires them to return to Bethlehem?
Matthew.
Luke. That's correct. Luke. All right. How about Herod? Herod the Great. Matthew. Good.
I'm thinking of some others here.
How about angels appearing in the sky saying glory to God in the highest? I see in the back. Would you say Christian? Yep.
Okay, Luke. That is correct. Angels in the sky. Luke. All right.
All right, let me see. All right, here we go. Here's one that everyone thinks about. The circumcision of Jesus.
You're like,
I don't remember that in the manger scene.
Yeah.
It didn't happen in the manger. Okay? But it is in one of these passages.
Matthew.
It is in Luke. All right. All right, I'll give you a personality. Simeon.
Luke.
All right. Sue, you can't answer anymore. All right. Let's see here. How about Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary? You cannot answer anymore. What'd you say, Shirley?
Matthew.
It's in Luke. Right. Try another one. Anna. Luke. Now, have you noticed that they're not in both? Now, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Usually what you see is reenactments in our churches. They merge the two stories. Right? I'm going to add a few more that we don't have room for on the screen here. But Joseph considering divorcing Mary privately when he finds out she's pregnant. You are correct, Matthew. Yes, Matthew. That's right. It's in Matthew. All right. How about Jesus
after the episode with Herod, they go to Egypt. Matthew or Luke? Matthew, you are no longer allowed to answer. All right. Good, good. So we're getting the idea here. We're getting a good idea. Let's see, what else? We already talked about the dreams. We already talked about the wise men. All right, how about, we already talked about Herod. We already talked about the death of the babies because of Herod. That happens in Matthew. All right, let's see here. What's another good one? Jesus being wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Luke. Good. Mary keeping these things and pondering them in her heart. Luke. Good. So they're not in both. To us, well, that's pretty neat. Luke concentrates on Mary. Matthew concentrates on Joseph. I mean, if you have the dreams to Joseph, only found in Matthew, and you have Gabriel showing up to Mary, only found in Luke. You see how that works. So basically, there are only three things that the Gospels have in common. One, Joseph and Mary. Two, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Three, Jesus was born of a virgin. Those are, to my knowledge, the best that I've considered this, those are the three things that the two accounts have in common. So, can you think like an unsaved person for a minute and tell me what you see as a problem? A person could look and say, the fact that Matthew has nothing that Luke has, and the fact that Luke has nothing that Matthew has other than Jesus was born of a virgin, you have to do a lot of work to make those mean come from the same story. All right? That's not a bad... Stephen is correct. That is what a lot of skeptics say. As a matter of fact, here's a guy that... Now, I just want you to see how careful we have to be as church folk to talk about this stuff. You do not want the first time that you hear about this to be when you're watching the Discovery Channel. Or reading Reader's Digest... or reading National Geographic. How many of you are fully aware that National Geographic is not a Christian organization trying to build your faith in Christianity? And by the way, neither is App State or UNC Chapel Hill or Mars Hill University or Gardner Webb, for that matter. So you need to know this. It's like I asked Jacob one time when he came running to me one day and said, Dad, you got to see this store. It's amazing. He was like 11 or 12. There's a Steelers jersey and it's 65% off. That's amazing. Have you got the 35% on, son? I said, what is the purpose of a sock factory? And what do you think he said?
To make socks.
And you and I know that that is not the purpose of a sock factory. The purpose of a sock factory is to make money. So in this day and age, when you can get any amount of money you want to go to any school you want to, you now have two competing industries that you better be aware of, or your grandkids and kids are going to wander off to these schools and come out infidels because you're just assuming, they just love my kids. They don't just love your kid. They are there to make money. And I don't hate them for it. That's capitalism. Okay? But you have two competing industries, the money lending industry and the education industry. Now, I know educators mean well. This is not a cut on them. Walter, all the way to everyone else in here that educates. I understand this is not a hit on educators any more than saying something about dentists. They're just there to, they don't care about your teeth as much as they care about making money. But they can't care about your teeth more than they care about making money long term. Or they can't care for your teeth. So when your kids go and your grandkids go to education, they're not going to come out from hearing guys like this and think, man, I just love my Bible more. They're just not going to tell you. They're not going to tell you because they don't want to break mom and grandmom's heart. So they're going to keep going to church every second or third or fifth Sunday. Then when their parents, it's travel ball 3 out of 4 Sundays. And little by little, they do church as a traditional cultural thing, not as a thing of conviction.
Because we assume that they always believe what we taught them when they was little ones. So this is what your freshmen will hear at UNC Chapel Hill in a normal Bible class. His biggest problem, this is Bart Ehrman in his book, and this is PDF, free online, but you can get this called, it's from his book, Jesus Interrupted, and the chapter title, A World of Contradictions. Bart Ehrman, in the 1970s, graduated with a degree from Moody Bible Institute. Then he went and got a master's degree from Wheaton College in English. Who's most associated with Wheaton College? Billy Graham. Okay? Then he went to, in the 1980s, to Princeton Theological Seminary and got a PhD in Greek from a guy named Bruce Metzger. And for nearly 30 years, he has been teaching freshmen at UNC Chapel Hill about what he thinks about Scripture. And his thing here is simple. These are both made up. Listen to this. Before examining the differences between these two accounts, I should point out that the historian finds real difficulties in both of them. In Matthew, for example, what does it mean that there is a star guiding the wise men? And we didn't even talk about that. It's only in Matthew, the star. That stops over Jerusalem and starts up again, leads them to Bethlehem, and stops again over the very house where Jesus was born. In Christmas Eve 2017, I talked about this. Pastor Zach and I joked about the fact that I preached on this on Christmas Eve, right upstairs, about how can a star be so big, wise men follow it, and so small that it can appear over a house. If you'd like the transcript from that message, I have it for you. If actually, you have it. If you were in our Wednesday night classes on Revelation, it's in that commentary, under chapter 12. So he is right now picking. Now, this, remember, this is freshman Bible students. He teaches 300 at a shot. Why does Luke say there was such a census? The answer may seem obvious to you. He wanted Jesus to be born in Bethlehem, so he made it up. Matthew mentions dreams that came to Joseph that are absent in Luke. Luke mentions angelic visitations to Elizabeth and Mary that are absent in Matthew. Matthew is the wise man, the slaughter of the children of Herod, and all of them are missing. And he talks about all the things that are missing from each other. And what is his point? His point is that they can't possibly be true because they're so different. Now, what is a good counter-argument from the perspective of Luke? Why would Luke, being written after Matthew, why would Luke, first of all, give me an answer and then maybe a proof text from Luke. Why would Luke, being written after Matthew, not include what Matthew had included? If you're Luke and you're writing the gospel, why would you not include what Matthew included? What do you say, Margie? Maybe Luke thought that you already had the details. Can you think of a phrase in Luke that would inform you to believe that maybe his readers had Matthew? If you're in Luke 2, look at Luke 1. Look at verse 2. Just as those who from the beginning... Hang on a second. Look at Luke 1, verse 2. Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also. Also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. And what does he say in verse 1? Many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us. He says there's a lot of gospels in circulation. A lot of people have already written biographies on Jesus. And I used some of them to form my gospel. So Luke knows that there are many gospels in circulation already. Now, Discovery Channel and National Geographic are within reach of our high schoolers and junior hires. They hear the talk in the lunchroom. It is not cool right now to love Jesus. You don't get social capital now out of being religious. You used to have to defend why you don't go to church. Now you have to defend why you go. World has changed. You better know that your 15-year-old friends know this stuff, and you better know that your pastor knows about it too. So how do we deal with this stuff? Let me give you one big problem, and then we'll handle it tonight. I can't solve all these little riddles. I just want you to be aware that the fact that they contain different information doesn't mean they contradict. It means they contain different information, and that the word is kind of a nasty word because it has negative connotations. If you conflate them, they make one story. But let me show you one example that you need to be aware of, and I want to see how you would explain it. I'd like to give you a possible explanation. And what I'm doing right here tonight is preparing you to have a conversation without getting emotionally distraught that someone doesn't agree with you and that they may have thought about this as well and are not believers. Now, let me just settle something in your heart and mind. I believe both books. I believe both accounts. I believe all the details. I have no hidden agenda. But your friends and neighbors don't. And if we want to win them to Jesus, we can't just say, don't talk to me, don't talk to me. I believe what I believe, you believe what you believe. That is lame. And we have to get to the point, if we've been saved 5 or 7 or 10 or 12 years and we read our Bible every day, we got to get to the point where we stop hiding behind, I believe what I believe, you believe what you believe. We can't do that. You have to be able to say, here's why I believe what I believe. And if you feel ill-prepared to do that, that's why we're here tonight, to pray and to learn from the Word of God. So let's talk a little bit about the narrative of the book of Matthew. Work with me just a little bit. Let's work from what you know. And if you don't know what I'm asking you, listen to the people around you. In the book of Matthew, we have the wise men visiting Jesus. I still want you in Luke chapter 2. In the book of Matthew, we have the wise men visiting Jesus. Remember that they followed the star of Jesus, and it says that the star indicated when Jesus would be born. Then Herod, because they stop in Jerusalem. So the star didn't lead them to Bethlehem, it led them to Jerusalem first. And they go in and they speak to Herod, and they say, hey, where's the king of the Jews? Now, what is Herod's job? He's the king of the Jews. How exciting for Herod to hear that there's a new king of the Jews. Do you think that made him upset a little? What's the proof that it made Herod upset a little? All the 2-year-olds and under. All right, the fact that they were 2 years old and under, you want to remember that. Then when they came and found Jesus, what's the difference between the way that the wise men found Jesus and the shepherds found Jesus? Give me some differences. With which group? In Matthew. Then the wise men found Jesus. He was in what? And Jesus is called a what? A child.
That's right.
In the book of Luke, the shepherds find Jesus. Where do they find him? In a manger. So there's a difference. And one of the complaints is, all right, in the book of Matthew, and only in the book of Matthew, you have Herod trying to kill all the babies, 2 years old and under. Joseph gets a dream, only in Matthew, telling him, get up and go to... Yes, and stay there until I come and find you there. And, of course, the angel of the Lord finds Joseph in Egypt after the death of Herod. And so, here we go. Take a look at Luke chapter number 2, tonight's passage. I want you to notice, and we could talk about this for hours, but we don't have hours, we have minutes now. I want you to notice in verse number 36, we have this one named Anna. She's right here. It's the equivalent to the Old Testament name Hannah. And so you have Anna in verse number 36. In fact, someone may have a translation here that actually says Hannah. Does anyone have one that says Hannah? You have it? Okay, thank you, Dot. So there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel. All right, now look at verse 37. This woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers. This visit takes place after the Simeon visit. Verse 34 of Luke 2. You see that? That visit takes place after sacrifices. What sacrifices were offered on behalf of Jesus? Verse 24 tells us. What were the sacrifices offered for Jesus?
Two turtle doves.
How about that? You heard that anywhere? That was the sacrifice offered for Jesus, prescribed in Moses' law. What happens before that? The circumcision of Jesus. Now, the circumcision of Jesus had to happen just like every other Jewish boy on his 8th day. Leviticus chapter number 12 says that after having a male child, the woman has to stay separate from things until she's been purified 33 days. So, when Jesus is brought from Bethlehem, where he was born, to Jerusalem, in verse 22... he was about 33 days old.
They offer sacrifices for Mary's purification. It is two turtle doves. Now, he's 33 years old, and they offer the sacrifices in the temple courtyard, and they meet Simeon there in verse 34. They meet Anna there in verse 36. Look at verse 39. When they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee. All right, do you see it? Jesus is 33 days old or thereabout. They've completed everything Moses tells them to do. And where do they go?
Back
Galilee. Would you say that Galilee is close to Egypt?
No.
What can you tell me about the two places? Opposite direction, yes? So when people like Bart Ehrman that has spent his, while you've been working hard and upholstering furniture, Bart Ehrman has been figuring out a better way to make Christians doubt their faith. While you've been working hard taking care of a field, building houses, working at a factory, he has been perfecting the art through millions of dollars of book contracts, finding problems with your faith, and he's just one person in one school who gets paid well to do it as a tenured professor. You need to know. He's not there to make believers or unbelievers. He's there to make money, just like a sock factory. So the man looks at this. He says, Jesus is 33 days old, and he goes to Galilee, not Egypt. That no longer is just a difference in recording. That is a contradiction. He says, how can Jesus both go to Egypt and to Galilee? He's 33 days old, according to Luke, and he goes to Galilee. Matthew says he went to Egypt. Now, how can both be true? And Matthew says that he went to Egypt. They went to Egypt from Bethlehem. Luke says they went from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to Galilee. Now, how do we make sense of this? Any ideas?
They went to the festival the next year.
That's beautiful. Did everyone catch that?
Repeat it,
Brother Walter.
They went to Galilee, and then the next year, as they were cried by the law, they went back up to the festival, and then their wife then showed up.
All right, did you hear it? What is the proof from the context that they returned to this very same place 1 year later? What verse did we read in Luke 2? We read verse 39. Where's Walter getting his information?
From you.
Sure. Where would we get it from the context? He's talking about Sunday night, isn't he? The three feasts that male Jews were required to go to every year. All right? So where do you get it from the context that they came back the next year?
Verse 41.
How about that? Can you read it, please?
Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival.
How about that? Every year they came back for this festival. Now, where did they go to in Luke 2? Where did they go back to when they lived in Nazareth? Where did they go back to stay?
Bethlehem.
Why did they go back to Bethlehem, according to Luke 2?
Joseph's
family lives there. Let me ask you a question. If you have free housing at your parents' house and you're broke, you're so poor, you're po, you can't even afford a second O and an R, you go back and you live with parents, don't you? So why were they back in Bethlehem the next year, or maybe the second year after that, or maybe the third year after that? Probably the second year after that. Maybe the first year after that. How do we know that the wise men's visit was within the first year or two of Jesus' birth? What do we know from the book of Matthew that clues us into the age of Jesus? That's right. They did the math with the star in Matthew 2 and found out that Jesus was born and he might be under 2. He might be around 1. They didn't say, oh, he was just born. Or they would have gone around and said, find all the non-walking toddlers and kill them. Find the infants and kill them. But he picked an age that was much older than 33 days old. Because in Luke, they did, in fact, go up to the temple at 33 days old. When they were done with everything required by Moses, they went home to Galilee in Nazareth. Then the next year, according to Luke 2, 40 and 41, they come back to the festival, same time, stay with the same family in the area of Bethlehem. And the wise men, they don't come see an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes, according to Luke. They come find a what? Who is not in a manger, but is in a house.
And it's on that trip back to Bethlehem that they are told in a dream by an angel to go to Egypt. So not only did the wise men not come and see Jesus when he was in a manger, but they didn't even see Jesus on that trip to Bethlehem. Do you see it?
Mm-hmm.
So these people who are very intelligent, they are made in the image of God, but they are infidels. They are unbelievers. They see what they think is a contradiction. They say, you see it as a contradiction. It says that Jesus was born and went to Egypt. Luke says he was born and went to Galilee. It can't be both. Well, you're correct. It wasn't both. Jesus went to Galilee, and on the succeeding years, when his family came back for the festival, the wise men visited. The star told them right at the right time. They come back and see a 1 or 2 year old child in his house in Bethlehem. Whose house? Someone related to Joseph, because that was his house and lineage, and they had to go back there when it was time for the census. Well, where did they go when they had to go back and celebrate the festivals each year? Same place, same family, same house, perhaps. Some of you might remind yourselves that the stable might have been in a cave. We don't have that in the book of Luke 2. We have that he was somewhere where there was a manger. And don't forget what we've talked about in years past, that they stored animals, or animals were lodged below the family quarters. So then that means just about everyone lived in an upper room, because the animals live below you. And when you needed to dump your scraps, you drop them through the floor, and the animals would eat them. So we have a lot of tradition. We need to go back and look at Matthew 1 and 2, Luke 1 and 2, and look for this stuff. Yes, sir.
So is it in Luke where it says there was no room for them in the inn?
Yes, sir.
And the idea there is they're at like a public place to stay, and there's no room for there, so they stay in the, you know, the barn or whatever.
Send them downstairs, probably.
So that, but that wouldn't feed their family if they're staying at a public...
Right. But my point is, if there's no census, not everyone's in Bethlehem. Just people who have families there during the festivals would walk the... How many miles is it, Walter, from Jerusalem to Bethlehem? I can't remember.
5 miles?
So not everyone that comes back to Jerusalem...
About 2 miles.
Okay. They're not all going to go to Bethlehem and stay with family when they come home for the festivals, because not everyone has family in Bethlehem. And remember, everyone, according to the edict of Caesar, had to go back home to the festival, for the census in Luke 2. All right. Any other ideas, considerations?
It's kind of troubling when you sit there and you think about it, where everybody is raised with the nativity scene, and you've got three shepherds, which it's not three, it's shepherds, right?
Sure.
And so you have this nativity scene with the three shepherds and all these animals and stuff like that, and the king's present for the birth of Christ, when that wasn't the case at all, because...
They weren't present for the birth of Christ.
Right.
The star appeared when Christ was born.
Right.
And it says that we, you know, who is he that is born king of the Jews? For we saw, who is he that is born king of the Jews? We saw his star.
Yeah.
So that's why by the time they come,
he's old.
Older.
So that gives these professors an argument right there. Well,
sure.
Look what you're celebrating. That never happened.
Sure.
It couldn't have happened.
Right. When Christians are not biblically precise, or when Christians don't care enough to know their own story, well, then why should anyone take us seriously? And of course they're going to find holes in what we think is truth. If you say stuff like, "And Adam ate the apple," come on, friends. That's nowhere in the Scripture. He ate a particular fruit. You've got to go to the Quran to find out he ate an apple. Is that what you want for a proof text? So we got to start thinking through stuff before we say it, okay?
Well,
but anyway.
And it also presents a problem where here, and it's always bothered me, where, you know, I'm sorry, Christ was not born on December 25th. That's just a day that was chosen by the Catholics.
Right? Is it possible that he was born in December?
I think he was probably born around Passover.
Well, maybe we should talk about that next week.
I think that would be good.
All right. It is time for us to pray. It is prayer meeting. I appreciate that, Brother Denny. And you're giving me some, maybe a little bit. I was sitting here thinking, maybe I should next week teach on, is there any chance he was born in December? And where, not guessing, where can we get that from the Bible? So maybe that's a good topic.